You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Gym Class for a Tuesday here at KGYM on this January the 19th at 3:04. Scott Unash with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes will join us coming up from his home on the southwest side here in just a moment. We're going to talk some wrestling coming up with you here in just a little bit. Wyatt Schultz will join us from the predicament. And we will take a look back at the weekend and look ahead at what's coming up as far as some high school wrestling is concerned, college wrestling as well. Iowa, a big winner in their opening duel against the Nebraska Cornhuskers, and more coming your way on the program today. We'll talk a little bit about some college basketball news coming out today and what's lurking tonight as far as the Big Ten is concerned. Always welcome to join us on the text line at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well. And you can reach us right there at 319-366-1600. Coming your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. In Iowa City, you're listening on 106.3 FM. Always can be listening at KGYM Radio Stream. The brand new KGYM mobile app. Please do yourself a favor and download that. It is very, very good stuff. And your smart speaker as well. Those are the ways to bring us in. And you can also listen to the podcasts as well at KGYM Radio, as well as Apple and Spotify. Got it all taken care of here. But yeah, a lot of tidbits of news and knowledge to get out there today. Mark, good afternoon, first of all.
Good afternoon, Scott. Buttons, good afternoon, everyone. Before you brought me on, I was doing some research on Keisha. I have no idea who Keisha is, but that was dropped at Tom Brands. Is that how to pronounce it? I don't even know. Buttons, help me out here. Buttons, help me out. But Tom Brands saying he's a Keisha fan. Is that right, Buttons? Keisha?
He is shaking his head yes. So
okay, all right.
We're going to go with that. The things you learn about Tom Brands coming through again today.
He's never boring, that's for sure.
No. When is wrestling ever boring, Mark? Never. Wrestling has been anything but boring over the years.
No doubt. I mean, Gable and Brands and Jim Zaleski was a little, you know, plain, I would say. But with Brands, you're getting something every week. And just open your notebook or start your recorder and let him go.
There you go. Yeah, and
Keisha, we learned today.
Indeed. 319-366-1600 is got some basketball news to let you know about. We've got Iowa State women's basketball coming up tonight for you. Iowa State fresh off the upset win at Baylor. They will be taking on the Oklahoma Sooners tonight. Iowa State a heavy favorite. Cyclones 24th rated now, and we'll have it for you on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM tonight, and that will get underway at 6 o'clock with the pregame show and 6:30 with the tip-off for that one. High school girls basketball coming your way tonight at 7:15, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Steve Dozier and myself will be at Prairie, as it'll be a top 15 matchup. Number 15, Cedar Rapids Prairie, hosting number 7, Iowa City West High tonight. And that will be, again, tonight at 7:15. And we know more about, let's start with the national scene as far as NBA or NCAA basketball is concerned, Mark, as the March Madness dates were released today. We already knew that it was going to be in a statewide pseudo bubble, the NCAA men's basketball tournament, and they will play at several different locales, including Lucas Oil Stadium, downtown Indianapolis, the Indiana Farmers Coliseum, where IUPUI plays their games. Butler's Hinkle Fieldhouse, historic Hinkle Fieldhouse, Bankers Life Fieldhouse, the home of the Indiana Pacers, and then Purdue's Mackey Arena and Indiana University's Assembly Hall. We already knew that, but there will be a little bit of a different vibe as far as the March Madness schedule is concerned this year. We're used to, okay, Tuesday and Wednesday, first four. Then you go right into Thursday and Friday, the first round, Saturday and Sunday. That's your first weekend, second round, bang, 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 away you go. Dates are going to be moved around a little bit this year, interestingly enough.
Yeah, they are. 55 of the 67 games are going to be played in Indianapolis, and you mentioned some of the venues, of course, Bloomington and West Lafayette, nearby Indianapolis, but not in Indianapolis proper by any stretch, about an hour away each. And Sweet 16 is going to be played in Hinkle Fieldhouse and Bankers Life, and then the Elite Eight and the Final Four at Lucas Oil. But yeah, the dates are going to be different, and I would suffice to say they may get moved. You know, this is a starting point, I think, for the NCAA men's basketball tournament, but the plan is out there, and we'll see if it can be executed.
In case you're wondering, Selection Sunday this year is Sunday, March the 14th. That has not changed, and we'll see if that is after all of the conference tournaments. That is still up in the air as far as conference tournaments are concerned. And you've got then a little bit of a wait, because first four will now be played simultaneously on Thursday at Mackey Arena and at Assembly Hall. And usually those are Tuesday and Wednesday. They are all going to be played on Thursday. You will now have your first round games instead of Thursday and Friday. And yesteryear, you will have them Friday and Saturday, March 19th and 20th. And that will be at all six of the venues that we just discussed. Then you've got the second round games to be played on Sunday and Monday, March 21st and 22nd at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Hinkle Fieldhouse, the Indiana Coliseum, and Lucas Oil Stadium. Those will be held there. Then you have a wait of 6 days. Saturday and Sunday, March 27th and 28th, will be the Sweet 16. That is 2 days later than usual. Those will be held in Indianapolis, as you mentioned. And then Monday and Tuesday, the 29th, will be the Elite Eight. So instead of Saturday and Sunday, it will now be Monday and Tuesday. And the final four dates will remain the same, Saturday, April the 3rd, and the Monday night, April 5th, National Championship game, both to be played in Indianapolis. Not a real concrete reason given why the games have been moved a little bit. It's just the way they are going to do it this year. And perhaps it is due to the fact that, who knows, we may have some cancellations or postponements, if you will. Perhaps that is built into the schedule and the thinking. Okay, we'll give you an extra day, whatever the case may be. I'm sure that has played into it a little bit. But as we, as you said, Mark, we have the dates. Now let's just see if we can keep the dates.
Yeah, and this is really a pseudo-bubble. It's not a situation like every game is going to be played in the same venue, and where the players are going to stay, they'll be spread out, you know, different hotels. I know there are hotels attached to some of the venues, but it really is a pseudo-bubble. You're playing six different venues. But it is a centralized location in Indiana. And again, we have the plan. We'll see if we can get there. And correct me if I'm wrong, I have not seen anything in the NCAA women's tournament. The rumors were that San Antonio may be the destination for that tournament. But I have not seen any release on that.
Yeah, have not. I'm with you right there. 319-366-1600. So you've got basketball information. We've got basketball, a lot of it coming up tonight. As far as the Big Ten is concerned, some very interesting games coming up this evening as far as Big Ten play is concerned, as you will have Purdue going on the road to Ohio State. These games still on. Penn State is getting back into play after some COVID problems over the last 2 weeks, and head coach is getting into hot water. The 3-5 Nittany Lions are going to go to Illinois to take on the Fighting Illini, coming off a loss at home. And then Michigan, off their loss, will welcome in Maryland, who's already beaten Illinois and Wisconsin on the road. Can they knock off Michigan on the road? I guess that remains to be seen. But you got three solid home favorites playing here tonight, Mark. Can they all keep pace and maintain in the Big Ten?
I don't know. That Purdue-Ohio State game is very interesting. Purdue has, shown that it is capable of knocking off a team or two. And you mentioned Maryland's pedigree and going on the road to Wisconsin and Illinois and knocking those teams off. And I'll be very interested to see the outcome of that game as well. The other game involving Penn State, I don't expect too much out of the Nittany Lions, but we shall see. Heading towards the halfway point of the Big Ten season, and we'll talk with Kevin Lehman about that, previewing the Indiana-Iowa game as well on Thursday.
Yeah, Iowa and Indiana still on, Iowa and Nebraska not on. And the Iowa women got a piece of bad news today as well, as they are going to be dealing with a postponement, which is bad enough, but the fact that the Iowa women, with school not being in session right now in Iowa City, they were planning on staying out east for 4 or 5 days, taking their trips to Rutgers and Maryland, and now one of those games is off.
Yes, indeed. The Thursday game at Maryland's still on, and the Iowa women's team will presumably come right back home because that Sunday game is called off. And a nice win for the Iowa women yesterday afternoon as we were on the air. Those two teams were playing, and Purdue had Iowa on the ropes. But Lisa Bluter made a very interesting defensive move in the latter parts of the fourth quarter that spurred a big run for the Hawkeyes, and that propelled Iowa to a Big Ten victory.
Yeah, it did, and a much-needed Big Ten victory. The latest bracketology as far as the women's NCAA tournament is concerned, they've got ESPN, Iowa, an 8 seed, and Iowa State a 7, but I got to think that Iowa State is moving on up as far as things are concerned, because the Cyclones, of course, with the win over Baylor, and if they can hold home court tonight and knock off Oklahoma, which they are favored to do, then I think things are looking pretty good for Bill Fenley and the Cyclones. 319-366-1600, text line available to you, and again, that is 319-366-1600. Some very interesting news today as far as women in sports is concerned. It was it's a good day for women in sports today, Mark. And two fronts. First one, I know that is probably under the radar a little bit, but today the announcement was made in Indianapolis that you are going to have the first entry spearheaded by women into the Indianapolis 500. Basically, a race team put together and basically run by a team of women. And it is Peretta Autosport, and their driver is going to be female as well, Simona DiSilvestro. From Switzerland, will drive the number 16 car at Indianapolis. We'll try to qualify that for the 500 coming up in May, the 105th running of the Indianapolis 500. So good news right there on the front for females in sports. And then we also had a first today in the National Football League announced.
Yeah, we did. And I know that you know, Scott, that there have been other women that have piloted vehicles in the Indianapolis 500, but this is just an all-female team, that which makes it unique. And the NFL, Sarah Thomas has been appointed to officiate in the Super Bowl, and this is just one in a long line of firsts for Sarah Thomas. She was the first female to officiate in a major college football game, in a bowl game, in a Big Ten stadium, first NFL full-time female official. And I suspect soon there's, I think, about a half a dozen female officials in the National Football League. But I would suspect sooner than later, we're going to get past this uniqueness of a female officiating in a Super Bowl or college football. I mean, she's been official for 15 years, has put in her dues, very highly rated. Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints recommended her highly when she was doing training camps for the Saints, officiating in that. And, you know, much like we went through a period where, you know, first black official in football or an umpire, whatever it may be, I think, you know, probably sooner than later we'll get past the point of the novelty, so to speak, that some people think is the case. And it is novel because there never has been a female official in the Super Bowl. But I just look at it as, you know, these officials are graded for 17 weeks, and she graded out among the highest, and she deserves it. Good for her.
Yep, great for her. And she will be in the Super Bowl, and hopefully we'll be making good calls. Probably not many of them, because there just aren't many in the playoffs. We can go down that road if you like. 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. Mike from Marengo, I don't have an answer to your question. The race team is just it's captained by women. I think there will be men on the crew, yes. That's I should have had that designation, but the people in the upper echelons of that race team are female. But yeah, the pit crew, et cetera, I would imagine will be mainly made up of men. So wanted to make
7:39 very fired up about the FCS football in the spring, and you and I could be very strong, and I would agree with that, and we'll get into the FCS season as you and I opens in February.
Yeah, middle February, and it's going to be really strange, though. It's going to be strange watching college volleyball in spring. It's going to be strange watching somewhat meaningful football in the spring as well. And again, I'd have to just sharpen my memory one more time, but I'm not sure they're going to be. I think they're just playing games. There's not going to be a playoff or anything. But I would agree, you and I has a chance to be a very strong football team, and perhaps playing a full schedule like this. Now, you're going to have injuries. That's a part of football. We know that. And I think 6739 would agree with us as far as that is concerned. But You're gonna go right from your spring season basically to almost into camp and into your fall season if you were an FCS team or a Division I AA team. And a lot of those teams play Division I teams, FBS teams right out of the chute, including you and I. They're gonna take on Iowa State. Not calling an upset right now or anything like that, but you gotta think that those games are gonna be perhaps a little bit closer. Due to the fact that the FCS teams are going to be playing spring football this year.
Yeah, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think some teams have opted out of that spring season. I think Indiana State,
yes,
perhaps is one that is not going to play football in the spring. But you got to believe Mark Farley, you know, after having the fall season washed away with COVID-19, is anxious to get his club on the field. And we'll get into that as the season nears for you and I. By the way, you and I news on the basketball floor, the Panthers have added Cornell and Co. to its basketball schedule. We're going to play Cornell on Thursday and Co. the following Monday.
Nice.
How about that?
There you go. By the way, there will be playoffs in FCS football. So I had to look that up. There will be playoffs. Playoffs. After this. So you and I
think it's a reduced field from what we've seen in the past, though.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was thinking, since it is a reduced field. But you and I will play 8 regular season games. They will start off on a Friday night at home at the Unidome against Illinois State. Then they go to South Dakota the next Friday in Vermilion. And then we'll come home to Missouri State at the Dome. Then three straight road games at Western Illinois, at Southern Illinois, and at Youngstown State before coming home to take on the Bison on April the 10th on a Saturday. Saturday afternoon, April the 10th, watching football at the Uni Dome, you and I against North Dakota State. How strange is that going to be?
Yeah, and North Dakota State has a very highly ranked quarterback, but I'm not so sure he's going to play this spring.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's going to be there.
He may have opted out to head for the NFL.
Yeah, I think that is the case. And then they close against the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State on April the 17th. Who knows if they're going to have fans in the Uni Dome? Who knows how that plays out once April comes around or even February the 19th comes around. But they're going to be playing football at least. We know that. 324-319-366-1600 should throw this in as well. We're going to talk to Wyatt Schultz coming up in about 8-10 minutes or so. A couple of significant anniversaries today. One very sad we'll get to in a moment. But it's been 19 years. This seems like yesterday. The infamous Tuck Rule game, the Patriots and the Raiders at Snowy Foxborough back in 2002. When Brady won his first career postseason start, a lot of people think he shouldn't have won that postseason start. The Patriots beat the Raiders 16-13 in overtime in a driving snowstorm. The famous Tuck Rule game, Mark, when the officials called a fumble on the field and then overturned it and said that Tom Brady brought the arm down and tucked the football. And we've had the Tuck Rule ever since, good or bad.
Talk to any Raider fan and they will still rue that day. And even some fans that aren't don't follow the Raiders will say that rule is bunk. But we see a lot of it each and every Sunday in the NFL about whether the arm's going forward, this, that, or the other. But yeah, that's I remember that game very well.
Yeah. And then, of course, it was, it's been 28 years now on this particular night that we tragically lost Chris Street due to the automobile accident down in Iowa City. And do yourself a favor and go read the plaque, if you can, outside the Iowa men's basketball locker room today. Try to do that once a year, every year on this particular date. And we all miss Chris, no doubt about that.
One of the all-time greats. I often wonder what would have happened, perhaps 28 years later. Where would he be? What his career might have, how his career might have transpired. I think he had an NBA future. And, no question, it's an understatement, but one of the most beloved Hawkeyes of all time. Just enjoyed watching him play immensely. And I noticed in one of the most recent Iowa games, perhaps it was Sunday's game, when they replayed Jordan Bohannon intentionally missing a free throw so Chris Street's consecutive free throw record would be preserved. And that was a cool moment by Jordan Bohannon. And he's the Street family loves him. And all Hawkeye fans, I think, love Chris Street.
Big Ten just showed a couple weeks ago the first home game after that against the Fab Five of Michigan on one of the Big Ten Network replays. And that was fun to watch, just not only because of the fact that it's a different brand of basketball back then, but it was just there was a lot of talent on the floor. I know Kenyon enjoyed that game because Kenyon Murray had a heck of a night that night or that day against the Michigan Wolverines. And like father, like son right now. Yes, 33-58 reminding us 16 teams instead of 24 for this year's FCS championship playoffs. So thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. 319-366-1600. This just coming down, Mark, some breaking news out of the Big 12 and Ames. Another game by the wayside for the Iowa State men. Iowa State Texas Tech, scheduled for Saturday, has now been postponed due to the COVID problems in the Cyclone program.
Yep, and now the Cyclones are scheduled to play Oklahoma State in Ames next Monday. So that's four in a row for Iowa State.
Yeah, that it's the scheduled, I believe, to be the big Monday game next week. I'd have to double check that to see if it's still on ESPN or ESPN2, but it is the 8 o'clock game. The young Cunningham kid is really good. He'll be a top three, top five draft choice in the NBA coming up next year for Oklahoma State. But, yeah, tough news for Steve Prohm and the Cyclones on a season that is just getting kind of worse and worse for the Iowa State men. But Iowa State, Texas Tech has been postponed, and that game will not be played on Saturday. The schools will work with the Big 12 Conference to reschedule that particular game. So there you go. Some breaking news here on a Tuesday edition of the program. We will take a break and come back. Wyatt Schultz will join us here in just a couple of moments. And we will talk some wrestling with him coming up here in just a little bit. A reminder that each Monday, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is brought to you by Randy's Flooring, local flooring experts by design for 40 years and counting. Randy's Flooring has been serving Eastern Iowa with locations in Cedar Rapids and in Coralville. Thank you very much to Randy's Flooring. We'll take a break, come back, have more for you on the Gym Class after this, right here on KGYM.
The playoffs are my favorite time of year, and what better way to make them even more exciting than to bet all the action this weekend on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never tried FanDuel before, this is the perfect opportunity to give it a shot, because right now, new users get an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on any team to win during the championship round this weekend. That's right, 25-1 odds, any team, any playoff game this weekend. Any of the four teams qualify, so don't miss out on this exclusive offer. It's one of many reasons to give FanDuel a shot. One of the most interesting features that FanDuel offers is live betting. It's easy to place your bet fast during a game. Let's just say you're watching a game, you see a trend that you like, you can get in on that trend mid-game. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code KUHN so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Bergen KDV knows the power of community. That's why it's proud to be part of the ICR Strength Partnership. Bergen KDV has served the ICR area for over 20 years with business, financial, and technology solutions that promote growth and efficiency for your company. The local teams at Bergen KDV have one goal in mind, and that's building a lasting relationship while exceeding your business needs and expectations. At Bergen KDV, it's not a service, it's a feeling. Want to learn more? Visit BergenKDV.com.
The COVID-19 pandemic is the worst healthcare crisis of our lifetime. Hospitals, care centers, and their staff are overwhelmed, and it's getting worse. By now, we all know someone who's been affected by the virus. But there is hope. Vaccines are coming and getting closer every day. But while we wait for relief, you need to do your part. Wear a mask, wash your hands, and maintain your distance. It's for now, not forever. This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
3:33, back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM here on this Tuesday edition of the show. Thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate it. Each Friday at 5 o'clock, tune in to KGYM's Drive Time. It's driven by Lender Tire. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn will take the hour to talk about the weekend's upcoming big and local regional events. Lender Tire, located in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. And you can find out more by going to kgymradio.com and find out more, because they've got a bright beginning in 2021 at Lender Tire. They're giving away $500 to eight lucky people, and you could be one of them. And all you have to do is share your story of resilience from the past year. This might be something that you overcame, how you helped your community in a time of need, or maybe you nominate someone who could use a bright beginning. Find out more at kgymradio.com. Tuesdays, we talk high school wrestling. We'll talk a little college wrestling as well. Wyatt Schultz set to join us right now from The Predicament, who does this fabulous job out on the mats. And a home game for you last Saturday, Wyatt. Always fun to be. If you can't be at the John Hegarty duels, you might as well be at the Jayhawk Invitational, right?
Isn't that the truth? you know, it kind of makes it nice when you're about 10 minutes from the venue. It makes it kind of a shorter day. And I was actually pretty busy anyway with setups and everything, so by Saturday night I think I was in bed by 7:30. I was one whip puppy.
Wiped out a little bit.
Well, you know, I went up and helped Cascade get set up with their video equipment, and then came back here because they actually had a basketball game on Friday evening, so I had to set up after the game, and then came back to Jefferson and set up for theirs on Saturday. So it was a late evening, and I'm one of those guys that gets pretty nervous. So I was there back at Jefferson by 6 o'clock in the morning to make sure everything was running for the tournament.
West Des Moines Valley won that particular meet. What were some of the highlights that you saw, Wyatt?
Well, I actually Pleasant Valley won.
Yeah, Pleasant PV won.
Oh, Pleasant Valley won. That's right.
I guess one of the, you know, Albernette is, you know, a small school and I guess I would say a big school tournament. I don't know about, Albernette, but I don't know if any of the teams in the area anymore are at full strength. I don't know if Pleasant Valley is or not. You know, they had a fairly balanced team. I don't think they even had a champion. I think they had three runners up, but they placed a lot of guys. And I don't think Valley of West Des Moines was at full strength. I think they only brought about 10 guys themselves. Albernette, the one thing that I guess maybe stuck out, I've been following him the last couple of weeks because I've been at the same tournaments. 26-pounder Brody Neighbor, he beat the number 9 or 8 2A Moore out of Forest City in the finals. He's been kind of impressive over the last few weeks. And so, you know, I think the tournament was probably down a little bit. But at the same time, I think everybody's just trying to get some matches in of some kind to be prepared for the state tournament, to get some comparables for seeding.
True, and two guys that were impressive, Cale Knox of Kennedy won at 220 pounds, and I think he pinned his way, I think he did pin his way through the entire tournament there. And then the Nimley kid out of Muscatine at 170, kid's going to go play football at Grandview. They're both football guys, but they were really good.
Yeah, Cale Knox was actually the Gregorian Award winner at the tournament. And Nimley, it was kind of interesting. I had actually talked to him down at Fort Madison in mid-January or mid-December. And last year, he was a runner-up at every tournament he was at last year. Except for the state tournament, of course. I think he placed a little higher. But so to me, that's a pretty interesting story because he won the Fort Madison as well. I believe he won Highland last week and then the Jefferson Jayhawk this week. And you're right, him and Toga Dessa, the heavyweight from Muscatine, are both going to Grandview to play football.
Yeah, the Lloyd Schaefer and Marion as well, a long-time tournament over there. And the Williamsburg Raiders just got the victory. Wilton and Mount Vernon, second and third. And Xavier, another good meet as they ended up in fourth.
Yeah, you know, Xavier actually with had three champions along with Wilton, but you know Williamsburg won that tournament without a champion, which I thought was pretty dang interesting. But it also shows you why they're a top 10, top 8 team in the duels. They've just got a solid lineup all the way around. I don't know if they're at full strength, but still winning a tournament without a champion is pretty impressive, even if everybody is down, because it's comparable. I mean, if everybody's down, it's just even things out. And so it was a nice, I think they had about eight teams with a champion out of that tournament. So, another interesting thing about that tournament, there was four Kales that won a championship.
So if your name was Kale, you had a good shot.
Yeah, I just found that interesting, how times have changed. You see a lot of Kales at these tournaments.
Well, no champions was not the case at the Ed Haydenfeld in Solon. Lisbon, I think, wide at 10 champions. Does that speak to Lisbon's strength or the quality of field or both?
I would say a little bit of both. As we know, Lisbon and Don Bosco, I really think, are just a step above everybody else in Class 1A. I don't know if the ones that weren't champions where they're at, but it still shows a solid field, whether you're a dual team tournament or a dual tournament team or an individual tournament team with 10 champions. You know, North Scott, they had a couple of champions themselves, and that's a 3A school along with Prairie. And so even if they're not at full strength, to have 10 champions in that field, to me, it was pretty impressive. I don't know. You know, when they get to be, I think they have a duel coming up here in another week or so. I hope they can have it. I know Don Bosco is down a couple kids with injuries, but it'll still be an interesting duel between those two. You'll have about 18 or 20 kids that are ranked in that duel meet, so it'll be very interesting. On Prairie, I had three champions out of that, one champion, I guess it was, a couple runner-ups. I guess maybe it showed their strength at 106 where they had the champion and the runner-up.
Yeah.
But and then, of course, Hayden Taylor from Solon, he's still on a roll.
Still good. Still good. Wyatt Schultz joining us at 3:41 here on the Gym Class Tuesday edition on KGYM. As we talk some wrestling, the biggest news of the weekend was over in Bettendorf at the Midwest Shootout, because Waukee edged Waverly Shellrock. And again, like you say, you don't know who was missing or anything like that, but they went 1-2 ahead of Bettendorf in a pretty good field, at least some very top-heavy teams anyway. But Waukee beating Waverly was newsworthy.
Yes, it was. You know, I've kind of been talking with KJ and Briggs, and I've been kind of mentioning the fact that Waukee looks pretty solid. It'll be interesting when you get into a bigger tournament, like the state tournament, I guess is what I'm getting at, whether they can hold up to Waverly. To me, maybe the biggest thing at that Bettendorf tournament was the 106-pound bracket. And I don't know if you looked into that or not, but Ella Schmidt from Bettendorf was the runner-up in that tournament. She actually beat the number 4-ranked 2A kid that we have in the semifinals. And of course, if you look at the girls' bracket, she was the number 1 seed in the girls' bracket for this coming weekend at the girls' tournament. So, you know, and it was a solid field, that 106 bracket. It was very interesting. It would have been myself. I would have liked to seen her wrestle a couple of the other kids from Waverly or Davenport West, but still, to me, that was really, really impressive just to beat the number four kid, and she beat him 5-2. It wasn't a 3-2, 1-0 match. It was a 5-2 match.
Well, we're going to talk about the girls' state tournament that's coming up this Friday and Saturday, but I want to ask you your opinion. The Mississippi Valley Conference tournament has been canceled, a 16-team affair, and, you know, week in and week out, we see, you know, we're seeing tournaments with 16 teams. This girls' state tournament is going to have over 400 competitors. I mean, I looked at the one bracket, it's got 50 girls in the bracket. Why do you think the MVC canceled? Was it because didn't want to compromise something closer to the district tournaments?
Right. I think there was quite a few teams that backed out already, and so it was going to be a depleted field. And I think, actually, if you look into some of the results of some of these teams, some of them have not even wrestled tournaments through the whole month of January, just because they didn't want to take a chance and compromise the some of the kids to wrestle in the district. They've opted to wrestle duels only, and which limits your exposure, I guess. You know, on Iowa City West, or the Iowa City schools have had limited results, meets, and so it'll be interesting to see how much they do. And I know with that Mississippi Valley, of course, probably like you and I want to see them wrestle, but it comes down to a school or a coach's decision on how they handle the situation. But I'd have liked to have seen them wrestle, even if they had to, they were going to split the schools up or split the weights up between a couple of schools. But it'll be interesting here in a couple of weeks, because a lot of the conference tournaments will be, I believe, in another week or 10 days thereabouts, with sectionals and districts to follow. So it'll be interesting to see, even on some of your smaller schools, because I hear rumors about Lisbon, you know, wanting to make sure that everybody is safe for that sectional tournament.
Yeah, that's certainly the big thing. And you and Mark talked about it. The girls' state tournament is coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday, down in Coralville at the brand new Extreme Arena. They've moved it from Waverly. It's outgrown Waverly. That's good news. What is it? Over 450 are registered for this thing. This is huge.
Yeah, actually, it came out to 474, I think it was, the final number. And, of course, you're probably going to have some scratches Miss Wade or whatever. But still, 470. And I forget how many matches that turns out to be. I know it's a bunch, because I think the two upper weights were the only two brackets that were not 64-man brackets. So it is a huge, huge tournament, and I think it starts at 1 o'clock on Friday. They will wrestle to the quarterfinals on the front and back side. So there's going to be a lot of matches on eight mats, and I'm excited about having it down there at the Extreme Arena. If nobody's been inside, that's a for this type of venue, for this type of tournament, I think it's a great, great facility. You know, I think the Iowa women's volleyball is, that's their home site now. And to me, it's just a perfect facility for this type of events.
Well, with that kind of growth, why, you got to believe there's going to be district tournaments sooner than later.
Yeah, we've been actually talked about it the last couple years. It's basically a matter of where and how to hold the, I guess I would call them district tournaments or qualifiers. Maybe that's a better term. Where to hold the qualifiers, and also how many qualifiers. Do you do it all on the same day? You have a qualifier on the same day? Do you have multiple qualifiers? And then do you allow 16 and make it a quality state tournament? Or do you allow 32? So with 472 or 475, whatever it was, entrance into this tournament, you have to, the state has to take a look at it as far as sanctioning, you know, because one of the things that I was looking at going through the brackets was to see how many girls this was the first time they'd wrestled this year. And going through the brackets, there's not very many girls that this is the only tournament they have wrestled. These girls are getting some matches in. And if you didn't know it, last Saturday up at Independence, there was 230 girls entered in that tournament. A couple weeks ago, there was 130 girls over in Anamosa. So these tournaments are just, I guess, bursting at the seams anymore, which is a good thing, I guess. It's nice to see that growth.
It is. And of course, you got that coming up down in Coralville this weekend. There's some biggies around the state of Iowa this Saturday as well.
Oh, you bet. You know, I have. Well, and the other thing is, you know, there's teams that just can't compete because of they're quarantined or something. But, you know, the ever popular for me is the Bob Looters over in Clinton. And I don't know how that's going to be handled, but Lindmar and Lisbon are over there. Anamosa's got a nice little tournament with, and then you hope, of course, you have the Iowa City Duels, and the way their season has gone, I believe the Lepic Duels, or was it the Lepic Duels last weekend, were canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so who knows how it'll be handled down there in Iowa City. And Waverly has a dual tournament up there as well. So, and of course, the Williamsburg has a dual tournament as well.
Yeah, is the Winger this week?
Yes.
Okay.
But to be honest with you, I haven't even looked into that one. I was interested in the Bob Looters and seeing what was in the area. So, and I haven't had contact with. William Watson over there at Urbandale yet this year either, so I'll have to get a hold of him.
Yeah, the Ed Winger always one of the better ones over in Urbandale. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that's handled because Fort Dodge was actually scheduled to be at the Jefferson tournament this week and backed out. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of teams end up going to the Ed Winger this weekend.
Yeah. All right, and Iowa got a victory over Nebraska in a very strange environment for wrestling on Friday night. So,
yes,
that was weird.
And I got a feeling that, you know, when I had actually gone up to that Don Bosco West Delaware duel up in Center Point last week, and they allowed fans, and to be honest with you, that is really nice. I couldn't imagine wrestling in Carver Hawkeye Arena and nobody in there. You know, it's got to be so quiet and echoey that it's got to be a whole different environment.
It is. We'll find out more about that with Mark. He was right down there tomorrow on the show. And Wyatt, appreciate it as always. Keep up the great work with the predicament. We'll talk next week.
All right. Sounds good. And I got the shovel out, Mark.
Sounds good, Wyatt.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Wyatt Schultz of The Predicament joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We're going to have a quick break, come back, and we got some breaking big-time sports national, international news to let you know about when we come back.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
It's a rated girls basketball matchup this Tuesday night on KGYN. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join Steve Dozier and me Tuesday at 7:15 on 107.5 FM, 106.3 FM, the KGYM radio app and stream for the girls' NBC showdown between number 7 Iowa City West and number 15 Cedar Rapids Prairie. The Trojans come off a big win over Cedar Falls and meet the Young Hawks, winners of 3 of their last 4. That's girls' NBC basketball, number 7 Iowa City West and number 15 Cedar Rapids Prairie, Tuesday night at 7:15 right here on KGYM.
Menards is your complete plumbing headquarters. Save on over 300 kitchen and bath faucets from Moen in the store and on Menards.com. Moen faucets give you a lifetime of beauty, reliability, and innovative features. Moen products are built to last. Save big on all the latest styles and finishes of Moen faucets now at Menards. Savings are good until January 31st.
Save big money at Menards.
Back in the gym class, KGYM. Tomorrow, Mark Ironside will join us. We'll look back at Iowa and Nebraska, the duels and Ames over the weekend as well. And we'll do that on the Wednesday edition of the program. But Mark, one huge breaking story out there right now, and not good news if you're a golf fan or maybe probably the PGA Tour, but he usually keeps these things very quiet, and he did it again. Tiger Woods is going to be out indefinitely. He had another back surgery, according to Golf Digest.
This is called a microdiscectomy procedure to remove a disc fragment that was pinching a nerve. He experienced discomfort following the PNC championships, and doctors and the team have determined the surgery to be successful and expect him to make a full recovery, but that's surgery number 9 for Tiger, Scott.
Fifth back surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah. I does not say the timetable, does not say anything about getting ready for the Masters. You know that Tiger, if he can at all be there, he will be at Augusta coming up in April as the Masters. How quickly time flies from our last Masters. No, wait a minute. That was just in November. So, he will be back there. Darius Paylor, also of Yahoo Sports. Time for, it's not Panda Watch, it's Mahomes Watch. I wanted to say Panda Watch. Anyway, he is reporting that Patrick Mahomes has passed some hurdles and is still working through the protocol, but there is hope that he can practice in some capacity tomorrow. And if that is the case, I would think then he would be ready to go. And also some very sad news. This just coming out, Ken Rosenthal in the last 10 minutes, that Don Sutton has passed away. Great pitcher in the major leagues with the Los Angeles Dodgers and a very good baseball analyst. But Don Sutton has passed away.
Yeah, it's been a tough stretch the last, 6 months for baseball heroes passing. Sutton was one of the greats. There's no question about that. And, I just saw that coming out as well. And, yeah, he was as Ken Rosenthal said, he's a great pitcher and a great personality.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And Colonels announced their on-field staff today. Brian Dinkelman will be back as the manager of the Colonels in 2021. So he was here in 2019 piloting the team to the playoffs. And that will be coming up hopefully in April, and hope to get minor league baseball back up and running. That would be tremendous, no doubt about that. So we'll talk wrestling coming up tomorrow. There's 3 Big Ten basketball games coming up tonight. In case you missed it, Iowa State men, Texas Tech has been postponed for Saturday in Lubbock. That will be moved to a different time. And Iowa State women will play Oklahoma tonight in Ames, and that will be a 6 o'clock pregame, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM for you. And we've got Prairie hosting Iowa City West in a good rated girls basketball matchup tonight, and that'll be at 7:15 tonight. 107.5, 106.3 FM will both have that particular ball game coming up this evening. So there you go, Mark. Enjoy it, and we will get ready to talk with you coming up tomorrow.
Sounds great. I'll be here. Look forward to it.
All right. We'll ask Mark if he likes Kesha as well. out there.
He's a country guy, man.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to fly. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next, so stay tuned.
Progressive presents an interview with your upstairs neighbor.
Hey, it's Rick from upstairs.
Yeah, I take it seriously. When I play R&B at 1 in the morning, that's me saying, hey, I'm here for you. And I enjoy repetitive bass lines.